praise the name of the Lord in the name of Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. I beg you not to repeat this story, please. I really mean that. Recently, my son came in and said, "Dad, I'm just like you." And I'm thinking, what is it, the hair? What is it? I was ready for an answer, you know, something beautiful. He said, "Well, I just failed a test, kind of like you have done." And he said, "Mommy's not happy about it." And I guess with some traveling we had been doing, there was a vocabulary test, and he had not seen those words before. And he was proud to be just like his dad. And so please don't repeat that. His mother's not happy even that I shared it. And he's an A and B student, straight A's and straight B's. But I'm impressed with that. That's better than I did, actually. And don't tell him that either, because I didn't realize that was his goal, to be like me in all of those areas. But prior to him trying to be like me, he was getting A's and B's, you know. So, but I took a test here the last time I shared about love and prayers, and I don't know that I got a passing grade, but it really made me think. It made me pray. In fact, I would love for you to continue to pray, not just in your own attempt to be what God wants you to be, but pray for me. I mean that sincerely. But I focused, and we'll look at it again just briefly, but 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31, in the midst of all this discussion about the gifts of the Spirit and the supernatural power of God, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, chock full of confidence that God wants to use us supernaturally, we come across this verse, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." And the rest of that discourse begins in chapter 13 with this appeal for the power of love. And I'm not going to read it all, but I do want to remind you. The apostle said, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, have not love, I am nothing." All of chapter 12 has really celebrated the fact that God wants to use us supernaturally. And yet here it's like not a disclaimer, but it's a reality check that if we don't have love, if love is not flowing through us, then we have missed the point. And so here we are, and I heard it mentioned even in the Bible study last Wednesday. Was not aware of what the direction would be, but the statement was made. There's been a shift in our church. Others have felt that, and some have shared that even from the pulpit. And so we know God is blessing and moving, and the power of the Spirit is working, but we need love, enough love to follow up with new people that are coming in, even to make a new friend, if you will, teach a Bible study, disciple somebody, help someone become close enough to you that they can watch you become like Jesus, and they can become like you, and as such, they become like him. That's love, amen? It takes love to do that. Some of you are doing so well at reaching out to new people and reaching out to different people than just maybe your particular group or clique or that close circle of friends that you have. Others, perhaps you might think, you know, "Pastor, I don't know if I would even pass the test." And here's the test again from 1 Corinthians 13, the New Living Translation. Love is patient and kind. So the question is, am I patient? Am I kind? I'm not asking my wife to answer these questions for me. It's my test. But that's the love test right there. Can you take what love is and let the Spirit of God work in your life until the Holy Ghost can produce that kind of fruit in us that everybody in our church, in our family, and even beyond can be transformed? "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Am I careful to let God develop in me that kind of characteristic, his Spirit developing and flowing doing so that I'm not jealous, so that I'm not boastful, so that I'm not proud, so that I'm not rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. So that's the love test. Do I demand my own way? Am I easily irritable? Am I someone that keeps records of when people wrong me? That's the love test. It's saying, God, here we are feeling the power of the Holy Ghost, and many people are getting filled, even for the first time. There's miracles happening. But, oh, God, if there can be a miracle like that happen around the altar, there can be a miracle like this happen in my heart. Jesus, help me to be transformed by your love. Not going to go through the rest of that like we did last week, but would you take a moment and right where you're sitting, would you close your eyes and say, God, is there an area of your walk and work in me? Is there an area of your spirit moving in me? You figure out the way to say it that works for you, where you could develop more of your love in me if I would open up my heart to the moving of your spirit. Is there a challenge in a relationship even right now, God, where maybe love is not flowing through me? That's not the attribute that's being expressed in my action, in my words. Have mercy on me, oh God. I'd really like to get a passing grade on this test, and I'm not praying thinking that on my own I could become better at this. I'm saying, God, if I'm going to pass this test, it's because you inside of me can develop love in me that changes me. Can you say in Jesus' name? So I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but I don't think that it can be overstated. The evidence of the Spirit of God working in Heaven View is not just that we got to put out chairs, or not just that the choir has to sit on the platform because the building is getting full. That's great. I thank God for that. But if people are not experiencing love, and I love the love they experience at the altar, but I'm talking about getting past just the building and moving out beyond ourselves and loving people, helping people, serving people. I could tell you stories of individuals right here tonight that have crossed beyond their comfort zone, and they have loved what many would consider the unlovable, people that even their own family doesn't have time for. And so their lives are just shipwrecked because it seems like they're all by themselves in this. And yet people from this congregation have taken time to love them. We don't put their picture on the screen, and we don't announce their name every time they do something good, because that's not how it works. It works by me being led of the Spirit, and you being led of the Spirit and saying, God, I'm doing this as unto you. Did he not say, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me? That's revival right there. That's revival right there. Anybody want to have revival at Heaven View? I know I sure want to have revival. I want that love to flow. And so love and prayers. I'm not spending any more time on love tonight, but I hope I just keep studying and working and pass that test, get a higher grade each time I take it until I actually get to go to the next grade. That would be awesome. Amen. It's like the third grade. Those were the four best years of my life, Brother Ponjikin. You probably can't relate to that, but I'll never forget them. I'm sorry my mother's here to hear that. It wasn't because she didn't beat me into doing my homework, but I was able to, anyway, we'll get on to something else. So let's look at prayer for just a few moments and really focus. It's not like love is something you have not ever heard before, or prayer is not something you haven't ever heard before. But look again at Romans 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I really believe that the level, the shift, the place that we're going as a church family, many individuals in particular, but as a church, I believe it's a place where we can love in a manner that only the Spirit of God can help us love. And so it is with prayer. I'd like for you to look at your prayer life and say, yeah, I know how to pray and I know how to talk to God. And when I have a need or even those close to me have a need, I know how to seek the Lord. But this scripture speaks of being able to pray when you don't know how to pray. This scripture speaks of being able to pray on a level that is literally supernatural. It's intercession. In fact, it's not just limited to praying when you can figure out stuff or when you're praying for the people that you know. It's bigger than that. If the Spirit of God can help us love supernaturally, then the Spirit of God can help us pray supernaturally. And I'm saying this shift that we're feeling as a church and the direction that we are going as a church is to a place where our prayers are more powerful than they've ever been, because they are not directed by our own personal prayer list. They're not even directed by pastor or other leaders leading us to pray. I think those prayers have their place. I thank God for focused prayer and ways that we can be led in prayer. But how about we let the Holy Ghost lead us in prayer? How about we open up our hearts and say, God, I want my prayers to be more powerful and more effective and more fervent than they've ever been. Praise the name of the Lord. In fact, I would say this in the context of intercessory prayer. We need love, so we need lovers, and we need intercessors, so we need fighters. You know what I'm saying? People have said, I'm not a lover, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover, not a fighter. We're saying we need you to be both. You hear what I'm saying? There's something about a place in prayer where intercessors stand in the gap, where people get a hold of God and they pray with the type of anointing that they literally bring down strongholds and they see the powers of darkness loose from the lives of people that need God. That's the kind of prayer that I see in this passage and in other places in the Bible. I'm saying there's a shifting going on at Heaven View. And I want to jump on board the prayer train, if you will. And I want to say, God, let my prayers be more apostolic than they have ever been. Help me to pray that kind of prayer that accomplishes something supernatural. Can you say amen? A while back, I heard a testimony. This is going to be a little bit transparent. It's a beautiful testimony, but I know that it touches close to our lives, and some may feel a little bit awkward, but it's a beautiful testimony. A lady in this church shared with me. In fact, she took time and met with me, and she began to go over some scriptures the Lord had given her. In fact, it was quite a beautiful Bible study, and this was the gist, if you will allow me. I don't want to give you the whole Bible study now. I just want to tell you what happened to her. She said, you know, back a little while ago when we were reflecting on the life of Sister Anna Ponjakin and how she impacted so many people in the church, she said, I got to looking, and in fact, it was during the service where we honored her that there was mention made of Anna in the Bible. And this sweet sister in the church, she said, I began to study the life of Anna, and the scripture basically says that she served God with fasting and praying night and day. She was in a season of life as an older woman without her family anymore that she could give herself continually to being in the house of God and just waiting for the coming of the Lord, seeking God and praying and reaching out to the Lord. And so this precious sister in our church family, and she gave me permission to share this, but I don't think it's necessary to give you all the details or even tell you who she is. But this is what she said to me. She said, God has spoken to me. God has talked to me. And in honor of Sister Anna Ponjakin, those are her words. And in obedience to Jesus Christ, I will give myself to intercession. Wow. That blew me away, that God would take some circumstances that impacted all of us, but in the life of one person in particular, a fire would be kindled that would say, wait a minute, this circumstance is causing me to key in on the reality that God is calling me to a higher place of prayer. God is calling me to give myself to intercession. And then she said this. She said, I believe there are more just like me that God is raising up at Heaven View. She said, there are people like me in a season of life where they're a little bit older and they don't have all the demands that they used to have in regards to maybe a job or family responsibilities. And she said, I believe that God is speaking to those individuals in our church and he's saying, I'm calling you to be an intercessor. I'm calling you to give yourself day and night to waiting for the coming of the Lord, to believing for revival, to praying and fasting for our church to experience victory. And so I am saying to you today in this series that as I just track what God is doing for us as a church family, I want to pause and speak to that segment of our congregation that you might just be old enough to think, well, the young people will do it now. The young people will help us have revival. Thank God for the young people, but there is a call going out to some of you seasoned saints that have been through some struggles and you have lived for God faithfully. Please don't discount the power of your ministry in this season of your life. Please don't just check out spiritually because you know you're on your way to heaven and you just start to believe that, well, nobody notices me and I don't really fit in this ministry and there's not so much I can do like what I used to do. Can I tell you that if you answer the call to be an intercessor, you are one of the most powerful parts of our church family. And if God has been speaking to you, let this be a confirmation. I will seek you, Lord, day and night. I will be on my face when you prompt me in the Holy Ghost, and I will make intercession for my church. I will make intercession for a lost world. I will be waiting on you, God. Praise the name of the Lord. When I think of Anna and Simeon in Scripture, and I consider the wonderful way that they are honored, I wish there was a way that we could honor those of you that perhaps have never stepped behind this pulpit, but you know what it's like to be on your knees. Yes, when we have prayer here in the altar, but even in your own private place of devotion, you have a consistency with God. And I beg you, you may be getting too old to do certain things, but please don't retire from your call to be an intercessor. You are so valuable to the work of God here at Heaven View and where we are at right now as a church. I thank God for a lot of things we have, and I don't know that we have anything in abundance. God has been good to us, but we could use more in every area. We could use more that work with children. We could use more that work with music. We could use more that work with evangelism. We could use more that can go to Bethesda House this Saturday. In every area of ministry, there are needs, but oh, the need for intercessors. It's a great need right now so that we can bust a hole in the darkness and in the spiritual forces that would like to confine Heaven View to just a few hundred people that pat each other on the back every week. Why don't we be a church that changes our city and reaches our world? We can't do it with just good singing. We can't do it if we ever get great preaching. What we need more than that is intercession. Oh, would you just clap your hands as if to say, I thank God for every one of those that have answered the call to be an Anna or a Simeon. I thank God for every one of those that have a mantle of intercession upon their life. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. For the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I am focusing specifically, and I know there are many avenues of prayer, but I am focusing specifically on those of you that can tap into that avenue of prayer where you don't even know what you're praying for, but you are crying out to God. You are praying in the Spirit. You are groaning on your face. I would dare say that maybe not everybody would have that anointing, but I don't know anybody that would seek for that anointing that God would bypass you. In fact, he's the one that said, I looked for someone to stand in the gap, and I wondered that there was no intercessor. I know I'm focused on the Annas and the Simeons, but you know, I don't think there's an age restriction here. I think anybody that wants to be used of God in the supernatural can carve out a place of intercession and let God have his way in your life. Praise the name of the Lord. I was preaching, I'm not making this up, it sounds like I made it up, but years ago I was preaching in a place called Sopchoppy, Florida. Probably very few of you have vacationed there. I wasn't there on vacation. I never knew anything about it until I was invited to preach there. The building was smaller than our chapel, and the church had been there for many years. When I walked into that service, everybody in that small building was basically a senior citizen, and I mean senior citizens. They had been there a long time. And I will tell you, as someone that was just grateful to preach anywhere, I know that some people might have said, well, this building is too small, these people are too old, I doubt God's gonna do anything. I was just glad they were there. But I will tell you this, when they begin to pray, the power of God began to fall. And God spoke to me and said, you see this little tiny group of elderly people that have been in this church for decades in the middle of nowhere, and probably most people will never know that they exist, on their knees. They have impacted the work of God around the world. In fact, those people pray so much that it's turned into them giving. And of all the churches in the United Pentecostal Church, they are the number two church per capita in giving to global missions. They average over $1,500 per person just giving to global missions. But the real thing God showed me is they may be on a spot on the map where nobody knows who they are, but they are intercessors, and they have power with men and power with God. It taught me a valuable lesson. I thank God for every door he opens where we can minister, and men and women from this church can impact with their pulpit ministry or their music ministry or any other kind of ministry. We need it all, but we need intercessors. I'm not minimizing those other ministries, but I am trying to honor somebody in this building that you'll never preach a sermon and you'll never sing a solo, but you can have power with God. You can be an intercessor, and you can shift this church into a season of revival that would be unlike anything we've ever experienced. And you know what? Revival is the best thing that could happen to all of us. Revival is the best thing that could happen to our marriages, to our families, to our children. Oh, for a place where miracles and signs and wonders are everywhere present, because intercessors are seeking God. Oh, if you feel a confirmation in your spirit, would you clap your hands and use your voice to say, yes, God, raise us up and raise me up to have a fresh anointing, a fresh passion. Praise God. A man by the name of Harry Sism served the United Pentecostal Church International as the director of global missions for many years. He traveled literally around the world, probably almost every nation, ministering in all kinds of small village churches and huge arenas. God used him mightily. And years after his retirement, I got to hear him speak to just a small group of ministers. And he said, you know, my wife and I, in this season of our life, We have made it our commitment to go to every single continent and to go to every single nation and be someone that God can use for his glory. They were way past the 70s. They were way up there. And here they said, we're still going to reach our world. Then he paused and he said, but please understand, we're not going to do that by getting on an airplane. We're going to do that by getting on our knees. And we're going to go to every continent and every nation by being an intercessor. I'm telling you, church, it's all smoke and mirrors on Sunday if we don't have intercessors Monday through Saturday that are saying, oh, God, when pastor gets up to preach, we got to have a move of God. When that choir gets up to sing, there's got to be miracles. There's got to be deliverance in the audience. I'm telling you, as we shift into this greater realm of revival, I thank God for everything he's done. And I know the best is yet to come, but we need love and prayers. And as much as you would shout amen when I talk about the need for love, oh, this need for prayer, for those that will intercede. One more time, could you raise your hand and say, oh God, let something get a hold of my heart. As much as I want you to anoint me to love in a supernatural way, I'm asking you also, God, to anoint me to pray with passion. Oh God, I don't want my prayers to be limited just to me, myself, and mine. I want to get a hold of you, God. In the name of Jesus. A while back, a young man approached me, and it's been fairly recently, but he said, the Lord spoke to me that I'm to intercede for your family. And I was a little bit taken aback because he has his own family, his own needs, and just like any of us, there's plenty he could be praying about besides me. But I took him at his word. I began to share some things with him privately. I need you to pray about this. I need you to pray about that. And there has been such an anointing, such an unction, strength when I needed strength, help when I needed help. And it wasn't just my prayers. It seemed like God honored someone that it's one thing for me to pray for myself, but it's something entirely more godly when someone says, I'm going to sacrifice and pray for that individual, that family, that situation. That's what an intercessor does. That's what an intercessor is. Sometimes it happens in that brief little time around the altar before a service or after a service, but they also dig out time all by themselves. There have been times when I've texted this guy in the later hours of the evening. I say, I need you to pray right now. Other times, because of time zones and some of the travel I do, I'm sure it was noontime for me, but it might have been midnight for him. But he said he was an intercessor, so I got him involved. I'm telling you, God is raising up, yes, the Annas and the Simeons that are older, and maybe they have a little bit more freedom, and they can give themselves to prayer. But if this guy with a young family, this guy with his own circumstances, if God would speak to him to be an intercessor, I beg you, in this shifting momentum of our church, if God has called you to be an intercessor for this pastor and his family, or to be an intercessor for this church and revival, I beg you to know that is one of the most critical needs that we have in our church right now, is for intercessors. And we need love and prayers to go where God is calling us to go. And I know this next part is going to sound a little bit awkward. And the people that are usually given to this type of prayer, this is the last thing that you would want to do. But I'm begging you to do it. If you have identified with Anna and Simeon, with that person that's in a season of life where they have a little bit more time and you know you have a call to prayer, would you contact the church office? Would you maybe even email me or write a note and stick it in my church mailbox? Print your name and just say, I'm an intercessor. I'm an intercessor. If you have email or texting capabilities, could you include the best way to contact you, because I want to mobilize our intercessors. You might say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I'll be praying for our church and I'll be praying for you, but there's no way that I'm going to put my name on a paper. I'm not trying to force you to do that, but I will say there are some strategic opportunities for people to be mobilized in prayer, and I don't think we need to have a show of hands, but if you know God has called you to be an intercessor, I would love for you to be one of those that's used. I've talked recently with Brother Robinette when he was here, and he's seen so many get the Holy Ghost when there are crusades around the world. He said there's not one person that steps behind the pulpit to speak the word of faith in any of those crusades that there's not some intercessors, that their whole responsibility is to fight the spiritual warfare that comes against the man of God, so that when he steps in the pulpit, there will be no distraction. There will be no limitations. I'm here to tell you, you pick any department in our church, you pick any leader in our church, there is nobody that can perform the will of God in the arm of flesh. If we do this out of our own talent, our own abilities, we will fall miserably flat on our face. But if we could have some intercessors, if there can be some Annas and Simeons, or maybe even some young people that will say, man, my prayer list is filled, but I can't get away from what God has called me to do. Would you write your name on a piece of paper? Or would you contact the church office? Would you let us know the best way to get a hold of you 24/7? And would you say, God, I know I'm being used by you in many other ways, but I want to be an intercessor. Amen. Let me close with this as the musicians come. A while back, pretty recently, but a few Sundays ago, I was in my cross-training class in the chapel, and I was reading from Romans 8 and 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I paused and I just shared, and this is just one tiny aspect of everything I've shared tonight, but it is important. I talked to that class and I said, you know, one of the most critical times for intercession is in the altar. When people are seeking God for a miracle or for salvation, where are the intercessors? And we've got some here, but we need more. And I just talked to them about the value of being sensitive to the Spirit and praying, even if you don't even know what to pray about. I kind of touched on this on Sunday, and you just kind of go up to somebody and put a hand on a shoulder, and you don't even know what to pray other than, oh God, bless my brother. But you never know when the Spirit of God can flow through you and intercession can start to happen. In fact, I use this example. I've used it before, and it's football season. Most of you don't care, but those of you that do, you can relate to this. The quarterback goes back to throw the ball. He throws it. It goes spiraling in the air. That wide receiver catches it. He runs a few yards down the field. He scores a touchdown. He does a cool dance. The whole crowd cheers, and man, he's feeling pretty good right then. But there are thousands of people in those stands that at that moment, they are saying, boy, I wish that could be me. I wish I could be the one that just scored the touchdown. Everybody's cheering. But the quarterback never throws the ball to the guy that's sitting in the stands saying, I wish I could play. I wish I could be out there on the field. You know who he throws the ball to? The one that's been practicing. The one that's been running those plays. That's why you will find me, I would say 98% of the time, active in the altar. You think it's because an angel showed up and I saw the angel? No. You think it's because the audible voice of God spoke to me and I'm moving? No. You know what I'm doing? I'm just practicing. Whenever I put a hand on a shoulder, I'm saying, God, you could pass the gifts of the Spirit to me because I'm on the field right now and I'm practicing just the way your word says. And I tell you right now, God has used me a whole lot more when I've been out there practicing, when I didn't feel anything. I mean, I may have felt distracted by my own personal cares, but it didn't stop me from putting a hand on a shoulder. And before you know it, I started speaking in tongues. Before you know it, I started praying stuff and words were coming out. I didn't even know what those words were all about. But then tears begin to flow and the power of God begin to flow. You know what? It didn't start because I was feeling Holy Ghost heebie-jeebies. I was just practicing prayer. I was just practicing intercession. I was just practicing being used of God. And the moment I got on the field, God was able to bring something, throw something my way, and a miracle happened. And hey, we scored one for the kingdom of God. That can be anybody that will say, I'm not going to sit in my pew. I'm not just going to stand and stare at the walls, and God forbid, I'm not just going to talk to others when it's time to talk to God. I'm going to practice intercession. I'm going to practice praying for people. I'm going to practice being used of God. That's powerful stuff. This past Sunday, I prayed for an individual that I've prayed for many times. New people in our church, I don't even know their names. I just know they've been here a bunch. God, forgive me for not knowing their names. But as I prayed on this occasion, I began to pray things that were so specific, so obvious. When I was done, I said, you know, I don't know your story, but God kind of led me to pray, and it just lets me know. And I made one sentence, and the guy broke. He cried out and began to weep because that was exactly what he was going through. But when I went to pray for him, I wasn't feeling Holy Ghost heebie-jeebies. I was just practicing. I just don't think that I'm any more anointed than Sister Lydia because I'm on the platform and she's sitting back towards the back. I don't think that's how God does what he does. He just looks for somebody that will say, I'm available, Lord. I'm on the field and I'm not just going to be distracted by my own cares. I want to be an intercessor. So I shared all that in my cross training class. Now back to our regularly scheduled story. That was on a Sunday. The very next day, on a Monday, I got an email from somebody that was not in that class, knew nothing of this conversation, and this is what they said. They said, the Lord gave me a word. This is not somebody that has ever said that to me before or ever sent me an email that was like this before. Totally random. Someone that, if they knew I was telling this story, I'd be like, I can't believe you shared that story. But this is what they said. God showed me that he is raising up an army of intercessors. And this is their words. Sunday, while someone was praying to receive the Holy Ghost, I was prompted by God to intercede. Others nearby were interceding also, but I felt like I should intercede also as well. She said, I was not the one laying the hands on the person. I was not the one speaking the word of faith. I was just the intercessor. That's what she said. She said, it seemed like the person was not going to receive the Holy Ghost, but as we continued to intercede, there was a shift in the atmosphere, and as soon as I felt the shift, that person was filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues for the first time. And this person said, the key to the next level of breakthrough at Heaven View is for an army of intercessors to be ready to fight in prayer. When people are being prayed for to receive the Holy Ghost, if we could just be in the atmosphere, interceding, believing God, I don't think there's anybody that is not qualified to be that person in this place today. Would you stand and would you raise your hands? I'm asking the elders to come with a prayer list, but before we do anything else, would you stand and would you raise your hands and say, God, I'll be someone that allows you by your Spirit to lead me into a deeper level of love, where I can love supernaturally, where I can love those that other people don't have time to love, where I can love those that the world thinks unlovable. And God, not only do I want you to lead me to love supernaturally, I want you to lead me to pray supernaturally. I want to be able to pray the prayer of an intercessor. I want to be someone, God, that can create an atmosphere. Maybe I won't put my hand on anybody's head. Maybe I will, but maybe I won't. But no matter what, I'll be an intercessor. Maybe I won't be the one speaking the word of faith, but I'll never be off the clock when it comes to praying the prayer of faith and speaking an intercessory prayer, trusting God for the supernatural. Come on, would you give yourself to it? Some of you that feel led, would you pray in the Holy Ghost right now? Some of you that feel led, would you pray in the Holy Ghost right now? And if you don't feel led to pray in the Spirit, would you lift your voice out just a little bit and say, Jesus, use me. Jesus, anoint me. Jesus, get a hold of me until I am just doing more than operating in the arm of the flesh, until I am doing more than just going through the motions. Come on, just lift your voice out for just a moment and pray in the Holy Ghost, or be led by the Holy Ghost. Just yield to the Spirit. Maybe a mantle of intercessory prayer could come upon you, or maybe God could deepen your personal approach to prayer, and that right now you could hear the call to this level of prayer that is the greatest need of the hour. There's nothing like it in this atmosphere, just letting the Holy Ghost flow out of you right now. There may be other things on your mind, but if you can let the Holy Ghost take over your prayer, you know what's amazing about intercession? Sometimes it's exhausting, but other times it's refreshing. Sometimes you're just so tired when you're done that you can't even move, but other times it's like the energy of the Holy Ghost set you free from the cares of life, and you're ready to go into the ring against the devil and win against hell and every force of darkness. Come on, you've got a gift. You've got a calling. You've got the ability in the Spirit to move mountains. You've got the ability in the Spirit to, you can't get this by preaching. You can't get this by singing. You can't get this by playing an instrument. You can't get this by teaching a class. You got to dig it out in prayer. You got to dig it out in prayer. It's the greatest force. It's the greatest force. Not to minimize any other opportunity to be used of God, but if God would open the door for you to intercede, it's a wonderful and powerful opportunity to be used by God. To be used by God.
Come
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the elders are coming with the prayer list. And if you are here tonight and you have a special need, you would like someone to intercede for you, if you would come and stand on either side of these elders. You don't have to tell anybody what the need is, but if you have a special need and you would like somebody to intercede on your behalf, I invite you to come and just stand on either side of these elders, and someone will come and intercede for you. This will be the last opportunity in this service, because we're going to try to end a little bit sooner than maybe we normally do. But there's an opportunity right now if you'd stand behind or beside, shoulder to shoulder, so we know who you are. You have a special need. It could be a need for healing. It could be a need for a family situation. It could be a financial need. I already see intercessors coming. If you want to intercede for one or two or someone, would you come? Just intercede for him. Just put a hand on his shoulder. They don't even have to hear what you're saying unless God prompts you specifically. You can just pray in the Spirit for them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the authority of the Word of God. In the name of Jesus. We intercede right now for every need. We intercede right now for every individual. We intercede right now for every circumstance. We intercede for those, Lord, connected with this church that are going through challenging times, that are facing difficult circumstances. God, we intercede for those that are carrying heavy burdens, and we just want to help carry the load for them right now with a little bit of prayer, with a little bit of intercession. Come on, you don't know. You don't know who's standing near you. You don't know the depth of the circumstance. You don't know what you're connecting with in the supernatural. Just pray the prayer of faith. Just speak the word of faith. Just intercede. Just intercede.